This episode is brought to you by
Solomon, and he's a trader.
Alex.
Matthew.
Have you ever thought of things that you've wanted from any time and anywhere?
Not really. Oh, hang on, sorry. Absolutely.
Well, how would you like them delivered to you at an exuberant price?
From Uber? An exuberant price?
Just like a really expensive thing.
Exorbitant price.
Exorbitant price. I like to teach maths.
That sounds great.
Because there's a man... There's a mysterious man who travels in space, who collects things to sell for profit to you. And their name's Solomon, and he's a trader. And he can get you anything you want. You want dinosaurs?
Yes.
He can get you dinosaurs.
Oh, good.
You want famous Egyptian queen Nefertiti?
Oh, yes.
Yes, so, okay. Bit weird. He can get you that. Do you want shiny missiles?
Always.
He can definitely get you those. The doctor gave them to him very quickly, if you know what I mean. So if you want anything...
Anything.
Just go to solomonthetrader.com.au, because he's Australian as well. He's not Australian.
Okay.
But he moved to Australia because he knows that we're suckers for a good bargain. So if you go to his website and type in fans from the future, he'll go get you those things.
Very good.
For 25% more. On with the show!
I know what this is. I know what's happening, and I know what's at stake.
I don't think you do, Doctor. But I promise before this Christmas day is done, you will be glad of my help.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Your Father Christmas, you're real.
I'm real. I didn't know those presents got under the tree every year.
Welcome to Fan of the Fool, everyone. I'm the fan, Matt Nancelli.
I'm the fool, Alex Cameron.
Alex.
Matthew.
It's been a while.
Where the hell have you been?
I went to the Snowy Mountains and the Blue Mountains... Girraween National Park, which has mountains. I just went and saw lots of mountains in Australia. So we had a bit of a break. So sorry about that, everyone. But the good news is I'm never going away again.
Oh.
I'll never leave you again. So Solomon the Trader, you'll meet, but he's in a future episode. But I thought he was relevant because the actor that plays him is David Bradley, the guy who played William Hartnell in the thing we just saw.
Oh, really? He but obviously as a younger version.
No, he's a villain.
Yeah, but he's younger.
No, 2012 he did that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When was this made?
2013.
That's so weird that they'd have him when he was just in the show.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's pretty awful too. He's one of the few... You'll forget this, right? He's one of the few characters that the Doctor straight up kills. So, yeah.
With missiles, I assume.
With missiles. Shiny missiles. But yeah, it just does it.
Is it important that they're shiny?
Oh, that's just the line he uses.
Oh.
Because Solomon's after really expensive things. And George is like, check out these missiles, they're so shiny. And they're coming right at you.
Holy. We've really moved on from the times when he was just going to whack a caveman on the head with a rock.
Well, these are the times where... And I think I mentioned to you before, times where he travels solo.
Oh, I see.
So he hasn't got someone who's like, you shouldn't just kill people. And he's like, doing it. Because there's no one here to stop you. So you'll like those episodes, I think. Because they're like the darker sides of who he is.
I like
and
that.
That's the bow tie one.
Oh, yeah.
No, but...
Like, what's his name?
You know what I mean? Like, he's supposed to be all happy and stuff. And he's just like, boom, you're dead.
So he's the Joker. He's wearing, like, a clown costume.
No, but he doesn't act like the Joker.
He's killing people with missiles.
Stop using Batman metaphors in this.
This is how I understand the world.
Your world's warped. I have Doctor Who news. So, Alex, something controversial happened. Shuti Gatwa.
Yes.
And new companion Millie Gibson did like a bit of a video shoot to show, you know, to introduce themselves. So Millie Gibson has been revealed as the companion for the 15th Doctor.
Do you know her from anything before?
Nope.
Okay.
Do you know her from something?
No, it's just the way you said her name, it was like I should know who she is.
She's British.
I assumed that.
So she plays new companion Ruby Sunday is her name.
Okay, I see we're still sticking with 60s names.
Well, if you go back, I mean...
What is she, a Bond villain?
They're going to run out of names eventually, aren't they?
How many people are on the face of the Earth?
If I just think of, like, the modern Doctor Who, Rose Tyler...
That's a name.
Martha Jones.
That's a name. Well, Donna Noble. It does sound like a Brady Bunch name.
Astrid Peth.
That sounds like an asteroid storm.
Astrid is TARDIS. It's just a, what's it called? It's the, what's the thing where you rearrange the letters?
when you rearrange the letters, a word search?
What are you talking?
It's a,
you know, it's a, you, they do it in the paper sometimes.
Crosswords.
Oh, shut up. An anagram. It's an anagram. Do you want to hear what I Googled to figure out that out?
Not word search.
I just looked at what I typed in. You ready?
Yeah.
God, I typed in rearrange the letters. What's it called?
But Google knew.
And the first thing it says, an anagram.
Oh my gosh.
Alright, an anagram.
Rearrange the letters, what's it called? But I will say, you were just describing a word search.
It's Adelaide Brooke.
That's a name.
It's a name?
This is a fun game. We should do this for one episode.
What about Amy Pond? Amelia Pond is her actual name.
See, I know it's a name, but it feels like a James Bond female.
What about Amelia Williams?
That's a name.
She gets married and that's what her name is.
Let's save this for a special episode. Clara what?
Clara Oswald.
The Penguin's daughter? It all comes back to Batman.
And then finally, Bill Potts.
That's not a name. That's a sketch character.
Millie Gibson is... So if you want a nice little photo...
Yeah, because I don't know who any of these people are.
They look like they could be on the TARDIS. There's a TARDIS behind them, definitely.
She... I'll tell you something. There's just something about her look... The way she has her hair done. She looks like she could be on an episode that we're watching now. She could walk in, you know what I'm saying?
Well, she's not in costume there. She's just wearing her normal clothes.
Well, she looks like she's wearing a costume from the 60s. I don't mean that as an insult. I'm just saying, don't you think she could walk onto the set right now? It would look normal.
Yeah. Moving on. The next bit of news. Big Finish.
Yes.
Has repriced all of their Doctor Who radio plays. So, this isn't controversial, I don't think. I mean, it's bad because I like Doctor Who and I have to pay more for it now. But what they used to do is...
I remember thinking, man, these are cheap whenever you would tell me about them.
The price was uniform across the world, basically. So, what Nicholas Briggs and this other guy, Jason Haig Ellery, he's an executive producer for all of these, like... All of them.
Right, okay.
Because he puts a lot of money into Big Finish. So he's not like an actor or anything. He just loves Doctor Who.
Okay.
And he's quite a successful business person. And so he puts a lot of money into this. And they don't make a huge profit, but they make enough that they can get these actors to come in and do all these things.
Yeah.
Because they kind of just make it for the love of the thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't make like heaps of money. So when they started it, Nicholas Briggs, who's the other executive producer... wanted to make it accessible. So I just kind of looked at comparatively, if this is £3 in the UK, like if it was just on CD and it was like £5, they looked at the price in Australia and they were like, oh, well, CDs in Australia go for about $5. So I just kind of made them the same.
Right.
But what happens is, and they talk about this a little bit, there's like an article on their website about it, because now that was so many years ago, and now people have things like VPNs.
Yes.
If they're in the UK, they could just pay $3 Australian.
Dollary dues!
You know what I mean? And so it ends up being lots cheaper.
Yeah.
And so then Big Finish doesn't make enough money. So what they've done is they've just made it everything like... they've just taken the exchange rate into account.
Yeah, so you're actually paying the same price regardless of where you are.
Yeah, so I can't VPN now to... Like, it's not like it's cheaper in the UK now.
Yeah.
It's the same price it's always been. It just means the price in Australia now has gone up to match it. That.
Yeah.
Which is sad because it means that all these box sets that I normally pay $20 for are now $30. But it means that they'll make probably more money to keep making these things.
And it's not going to change you buy. You're still going to buy them, aren't you?
Yeah. I'll probably just buy less of them.
As you go. Because,
yeah, because there were times where I see a good, you know, 45-minute episode that was like $1.50, and I'd just be like, yeah, I'll take that. But maybe I won't do it so much anymore. So there's that. I've got a new segment for you.
All right.
Okay, so you know how we do, is it Doctor Who?
Is it Doctor Who?
Who? Now, what we're going to do instead, it's because I'm running out of things. I mean, there's literally Glad Wrap right there.
That's not a Doctor Who product.
Not a Doctor Who thing. We're going to change a little bit. You ready?
I'm so ready.
Was it Doctor Who?
Oh.
So this is where...
What a twist.
There's 2 points up for grabs.
Where did M. Night Shyamalan get here?
Hello.
Very
good. What was that movie? The one with where the trees were killing everyone? The Happening.
Oh, yes.
More like The Crappening, all right?
He's saying that because it sucked so bad.
It was so bad.
Anyway.
So this is
was
where...
Was it Doctor Who?
I'm going to give you a quote. And you get to do two things.
Go on.
One, you have to tell me if it's Doctor Who or not. And two, you have to tell me what episode it's from.
Oh, okay, so it's one I've seen.
Yes, it's one you've seen.
Okay.
And if it's not Doctor Who, you can take a guess of what it's from.
Okay, this is good because we are running out of ideas. Oh, not ideas, items.
Items.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and say these flat because it could be... I reckon it could just be a character in Doctor Who as well.
So it might not be the Doctor who says it, but...
It's just from Doctor Who.
Okay.
Or was this Doctor Who?
Gotcha.
You wanted advice, you said. I never give it, never. But I might just say this to you. Always search for truth. My truth is in the stars, and yours is here.
It's funny, because at the start of that quote, when he said the thing about... Did you say you never asked for advice?
You wanted advice, you said.
I feel like that is from... It sounded familiar, but then it ended and I didn't remember it. You know what I mean? I'm going to guess that it is Doctor Who.
It is. Now, can you guess what episode or what story it's from?
Is it when he's leaving Susan on the planet and he's saying that to her? No, that's not part of the speech. Hang on.
He does the whole, one day I shall come back.
Is there some...
He's never coming back. Sorry, keep going.
I'm trying to think the context when he would say that to someone. Is he's leaving someone behind?
Yeah, imagine an episode where he leaves a planet or something. Every episode.
No,
sorry. I know what you mean.
Is it when he leaves Earth, but Barbara and Ian are back on planet Earth?
Is there an episode that goes with that?
I don't know.
You mean when Ian and Barbara leave?
No, that's what I just said, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's an episode they get. What happens to them? What are the Daleks doing to them?
To them?
No, what are the Daleks doing to the TARDIS?
They're attacking London. They're doing to the TARDIS?
As in...
The chase.
It's called the chase! Oh, yes. You're still wrong because it's not that episode.
Oh, man. This M. Night Shyamalan is really here. That was just cruel.
It's the Daleks. It's the first Daleks. He says it to the... to the Thals.
Can I just say, I thought of the Thals, but I don't know why I didn't go with it.
So that he says it just as early, like he says, my truth is in the stars because they're about to fly away. And he says, yours is here. Because he leaves them on that, you know, radioactively filled planet.
So he's basically like, defend yourselves, bye.
Good luck. I'm out.
Okay, good.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
All right, we'll do it more often.
Good.
So... Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of...
Audio play.
So, I'm going to do a few. Because as I mentioned at the start, I went on holidays. And so I listened to a lot.
Yes.
So I'm going to kind of like... quickfire some.
Do it.
And I'll mention the stories of some. And not some of the other. Okay, so the first one. Doctor Who Short Trips Falling. 37 minutes. It's about Polly, the Doctor, and Ben on a travel.
Oh, yeah.
And they encounter an angel.
A weeping angel?
No, like a real angel.
A real angel?
Like, as in, like, it looks like an angel. Like, how people think angels look. And then they realise it's not an angel. It's not a real angel.
Oh, I see. That's the twist.
But it's a good... it's set right before the last episodes that we watch of William Hartnell.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was like... It offers a little bit of an explanation to be like, he's about to die. That kind of thing. So
that makes sense.
The angel's like tells him, he's like, your time's, like, wrapping up soon. He's like, maybe it is, but how dare you know my future? That kind of thing. So they have, like, a bit of a philosophical discussion.
Right.
And it also knows what happens to Ben and Polly, which you don't know yet.
What do you rate it?
I'm going to give it a 9.
Out of 13.
So it's pretty good.
Oh, pretty good.
Next one, Doctor Who, Time and Office. So the fifth Doctor, he's president of the Time Lords. Because they're like, we suck and we need someone to fix us. And he's like, fine, I'll do it. And so he fails a lot at that.
Interesting.
But it's good. It's 2.5 hours long.
Oh, jeez.
So it's quite a long one. But it's a good one.
Wow.
8 out of 13. Next.
Not quite as good.
Not quite as good.
But still okay.
Doctor Who, Black Thursday. So, fifth Doctor again. So the fifth Doctor travels to a Welsh village. Now, this one I liked a lot. Because normally he lands in time and space and, like, aliens and stuff are happening. This time he lands in a mining disaster.
Oh.
So,
on Earth.
On Earth in 1902. So he lands in the mine, and then there's a mine disaster, and he has to help the people.
Right.
So it's one of those moments where there's no bad guy. There's just, like, a tragedy, and he has to just be, like, the Doctor.
Right.
And so you can see, like, there's a minute where all that kicks in for him, and he's like, this just sucks. Like, people have died, and so it's really, like, somber, but it's quite good. And he's got a companion with him in this one called Chameleon, who you'll see on the show.
Again, not a real name.
He's a robot that can,
oh,
like, blend in. An android who can, like, disguise himself as a person,
okay,
or anything. So, hard to do on a TV show in the 70s and 80s, but easy to do on audio.
Yeah.
Like, he just changes his voice and he becomes a different, you know what I mean? So, yeah. He's used quite well. So, I want to say 11 out of 13.
Ooh!
Now, that episode's immediately followed by another one called Power Game. So, Chameleon's in that as well. It takes place. It's the next story.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they end up on a game show. But it turns out the game show is, like, evil.
Oh.
So, pretty good, though. 9 out of 13. Let's keep this moving. Doctor Who, Shadow of the Sun. The Doctor lands on a spaceship heading for the Sun with a whole bunch of people on it who believe that the Sun is, like, they worship the Sun.
Right.
And they're pretty sure that if they fly into the Sun,
they'll
land in paradise. And he's like, you guys are nuts. And so he tries to save them. Like, he tries to convince them.
Yeah.
But out of, like, the hundreds that are on the ship, he only manages to convince 2. And then he's like, I guess I'm going to... So he leaves the rest there.
And takes 2 with him.
Yeah. And they're like, I guess this is weird. Because it starts to get very hot. And the guy that's running their cult is just basically like, no, it's meant to get hot.
That's the warmth of God.
It's the warm embrace of the Sun. 10 out of 13.
Ooh, quite good.
Yeah, it is quite good. I can't tell you the name of this one. Doctor Who Battlegrounds. I'll just call it that. I can't give you the box set name because it's going to be too much. It's going to be too much. But it's these moments where... It's supposed to be these moments where the Doctor's a bit darker. So he hasn't got anyone travelling with him.
Right.
So he makes some calls that are a bit sketchy. But they're all really good. And the Doctor that... I'm going to have to work my way around spoilers. But the Doctor in this is played by a different actor, mm-hmm, to kind of be that.
Right.
In fact, there's another box set. So that one, 10 out of 13.
Nice.
There's another one in here called Doctor Who, Doctor of War. That's, you know, Colin Baker, the sixth Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a version where this is like a what if. So, you know, it's like, in this episode, what if this happened instead? And then the universe plays out like that.
Right.
So it's like, what if the Doctor was more evil? So You know, he's evil, basically. But the thing that always disappoints me about that, and the previous one that I can't tell you the title of,
yeah,
but the people listening to this might know what I'm talking about, is they always have the Doctor going darker, but they don't ever quite go, like, fully into that.
Yeah.
But I guess it's because he is the Doctor. And they can't be, like, he can't go completely off the rails.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm just like, they always kind of suggest that he has before, but never actually show him doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sad.
So the reason, I'm not trying to dig into what it is, but does something huge happen in the canon of the show that you can't reference right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's an event.
Right. Is it a while away?
It's a bit like, yeah. In fact, I'll tell you about it because another story that references it as well.
Okay. That's easy for you to say.
The Doctor Who Ninth Doctor Adventures,
mm-hmm.
Hidden Depths. This is the one that I talked about last time where Christopher Eccleston meets Nicola Walker.
Oh, yes.
And it's really good because she's really good. And she's a bit like, you're different now. And he's like, yeah, I've done this before.
Mm.
And she's like, yeah, I know, but I know that one. And now you're this one. She said, what happened to that one? Mm. So that universe event...
is what they're referencing.
Is what they're referencing.
Interesting.
So, and because the Eighth Doctor's death... because he dies. That's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
Because they all die.
Yeah.
But his death is so tragic that the Ninth Doctor's just like, we're not talking about that. So, it's very sad, because I don't think... it's probably one of the very few times where the Ninth Doctor has met someone from before that change.
Right.
Because he doesn't really meet that many old people, because he's sad.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to be like, I did a thing and I'm really sad about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
12 out of 13.
Ooh!
It's very good. Master, Nemesis Express... you know the Master, the evil...
the worst train ever to get on.
Yeah. This is, what's his name? Eric Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
So he's the Master in this, and he is trying to... because he's dying, he wants to, like, not die.
Oh, yeah.
So he's trying not to die. So he's on this train, Nemesis Express.
Oh.
I think the train isn't called that, but because he's, you know, he's evil.
It's the concept.
It's the concept of expressing Nemesis.
Express.
So he's like trying to not die. And this other character from the Doctor Universe, Vienna Salvatore, she's a former bounty hunter who's like reformed. So she doesn't kill people anymore. But she's trying to stop him.
Right.
And they have this really cool back and forth the whole time. And he's Eric Roberts, and she's Chase Masterson, they're both American. Oh, well, I think she's British and she's moved to America.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually recorded his parts over in America, and the rest of the cast were in the UK. So that's pretty cool.
Interesting.
And they did the behind-the-scenes thing, because they always do behind-the-scenes thing with them, and they're like... what do you love about, like, what you do? And Eric Roberts is just like, this is my favourite character because he's just evil for no reason. Like, he's like, he just likes chaos.
Yeah.
And he's just like, it gives me a chance to just, like, be evil and I don't even have to get into costume. I just do the thing.
Say the things.
But the interesting about this is they reference something that happened in the Doctor Who movie. But they can't use a lot of that stuff because
it's like a copyright issue?
It's a copyright issue.
Right.
So, in fact, there's an actress in that movie who loves Doctor Who now, but she can't actually, like, portray that character in anything else.
You're talking about the movie before it was rebooted.
Yes.
And that can't be referenced, really, because it's a copyright with someone else.
Yeah, it was a deal between BBC, and I think it was Star Media or something. It was developed as a co-production between Universal and BBC. So Universal have the rights to a lot of those characters.
Wow.
So...
Bing bong.
But luckily Doctor Who has... the BBC have... Well, in this case Big Finish, have the rights to The Master. So even though The Master's in that movie, they can still use him.
Okay.
But they can't use other characters from that movie.
Yeah, that weren't original from the BBC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sad face.
Sad faces. Well, if Disney really is buying it out, they probably have the money to buy the rights back.
They probably have the money to just buy Universal.
That's what I'm saying.
Not just the rights, I mean like the whole company.
And then they could do more with making that movie part of the universe.
Well, the actress who plays a companion in that, her name's Daphne Ashbrook. She plays the companion in the movie. And she loves Doctor Who now. Like, she didn't know anything about Doctor Who. And then she did the movie and now she loves it. But she can't portray that character again.
That's so weird.
So instead in the Big Finish audio plays, she sometimes portrays a different character. But not that character.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's kind of odd.
What
do you rate it?
9 out of 13.
Woo!
Last two.
Doctor Who. You got through a lot of these.
Doctor Who, The Eighth Doctor Adventures, Paradox of the Daleks, the Dalby Spook. It's two episodes in this.
Are there any other titles? There's about four of them there.
Paradox of the Daleks. Let's start with that.
Paradox of the Doc Daleks.
Paradox of the Daleks. They arrive on a ship and the Daleks...
Ship goes down.
The Daleks are doing some experiments, but it involves time traveling within, like, the one space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those episodes where something happens at the start because something happens at the end, but someone from there comes back to the start and does. So it's a crazy script, but it's really good. And the Daleks that are in this... from just like a little bit into the Doctor's future. So they're like, we know this one. We know your face. So they know all that. And it's good for one of the companions. So Helen Sinclair, who's Hattie Morgan, she's a companion. She's never met the Daleks before. So she's like, oh, this is the things you keep talking about.
Right.
So that's really good. And they've gone away from... So, for the Eighth Doctor, they used to do these massive box sets. So, it would be four episode blocks. So, it'd be like 16 episodes about the one story arc.
Wow.
Whereas these ones have gone back to a bit more of like a, this is a standalone, and this is a standalone.
Yeah.
And it's just like, makes a bit more sense. You know, like Doctor Who's...
Easier to digest.
Yeah. And so, Doctor Who's not normally about massive story arcs. It's normally like little chunks.
Yeah.
And it just makes them seem a bit more believable that they're not going through this long, harrowing adventure. It's like these little one-off adventures. So everyone seems a bit happier. And the second story in that is called The Dalby Spook. And, you know, Isle of Man, the location, it's like in Great Britain, in the UK or whatever.
Yep, yep.
And there's this story about a talking mongoose, like real story. Probably not a real thing that actually happened.
But it's a legend in real life.
It's a legend in real life. So that it's a real talking mongoose in Doctor Who.
Right.
So it's a pretty good story. And it turns out the mongoose is not evil. Like, it just wants to help this little girl. And the Doctor just leaves it there. And they're like, what is that? And I guess he's like, I guess it's just a talking mongoose.
Wow.
11 out of 13.
Ooh.
And the last one, Rose Tyler, and I can't give you the title, but this is...
And the Death of the Doctor Forever.
This is definitely one of the best series. So Billy Piper, who plays Rose Tyler when Doctor Who comes back in 2005, she goes... Eventually she leaves the show, and she has her own adventures. But I would say, I guess the circumstances of her leaving... she wants to find the Doctor again. So she's kind of hopping from place to place. She's got her own technology that helps her do that.
Yeah.
The problem is, she keeps going to events where the Doctor would save the day to find that the Doctor's not there.
Mm.
And so she'll try and do her best to save the day, but she's not the Doctor. And so... it's a series of stories, because this is the second box set where this happens,
mm-hmm.
where some tragedy is going to happen at the end, and because of the way she travels, she has to leave, so she can't see it out, so she tries to set up everything the best she can, and she just leaves, and we leave with her. So it's like, awful situations, and she's trying to be, like, fix things.
Yeah.
And then she leaves and you don't get to see what happens.
Right.
So it's like freaky.
Yeah.
And it's also just harrowing because it's like the doctor should save the day, but the doctor's not there.
No.
So sad. 12 out of 13.
Ooh.
We're done. I'm tired. You take over the show.
So what did we actually watch today, Matthew?
We watched a dramatization. Can you say that word?
Dramatization.
Of the making of early Doctor Who.
Yes, it basically captures the beginning of the show through to when the first Doctor finishes up.
Yeah.
And it was really good. It was really interesting.
It was. And now you thought it was going to be a documentary.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like a straight-laced, like, sit-down interview a person, they talk about the show, who was actually there. But this was better. I thought it was really good how they were able to point things out by doing it in a dramatic way.
Yeah, so, I think the thing that I... Because I... It's quite moving. I felt it was quite moving.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly in some points where I was like, I'm going to cry in a minute. But I think the thing that really comes across in it is the transformation of William Hartnell, like, from this guy that's, like, really quite abrasive and is like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
To, like, not wanting to let it go.
Yes.
And there's that whole... You see other cast members all around him coming and going, because it takes place over, like, 1963 to 1966. You see, like, even in those... There's these shots throughout it of the cast members getting photos taken,
mm-hmm.
and just seeing the changes there.
Yeah.
And he's just there like, I guess I've got new people again.
Yeah. And not just the cast, but the people behind the show as well.
Yeah.
Eventually changing over time.
So let's go, I reckon, let's talk about the people.
Yep.
So at the start, it does the old thing where it like starts with the end.
Yes.
So William Hartnell's on his last day on set, and he's looking up and he's like, I remember everything, and then it flashes back.
Yeah, so we're seeing what he's picturing at that moment.
So Sidney Newman is the first character we really meet.
Brian Cox.
Brian Cox, yeah, perfect. Who
of course is brilliant, because it's Brian Cox.
Yeah, no, I think just really, like, even the look, like, he's obviously looked at lots of pictures of Sidney Newman going like, we need this mustache this way. I mean, someone else has probably done that, but he looks like Sidney Newman.
He looks the part, absolutely.
So he...
And it's funny because he, in a separate sort of behind-the-scenes thing we watched, talked about how he was at the BBC as a young man and actually met the real guy.
Yeah.
So he kind of maybe had an idea of how to portray him.
So he... was a big producer in Canadian television. He was working for ITV. He went from there to the UK. So the BBC offered him a job. So eventually he ends up as the head of drama at BBC. And so in the show, the BBC are basically looking for a show to plug a gap in their schedule. And I didn't really understand. I didn't really follow all the things that they were saying, but it's sort of like to link between all the children's stuff in the afternoon to like the adult stuff in the evening.
Yeah.
So they need something that's family in the middle.
Yes.
So he has this idea, and I love how he like just has ideas, and he even knows that about himself. Like he's like he has his little pop catchphrase. And he's just like, I just come up with ideas, and other people, they make them flourish.
Yeah.
So his idea is four people traveling through space and time, two adults that the audience can relate to, a kid.
Two good-looking people, he said.
He did say two good-looking people. And he did get
The finger guns out.
It's speaking good looking people. Barbara.
She was no Barbara. I'm sorry. I wanted to make that point where we got to it, but now feels right. They have people who play Ian and Barbara. People who play the actors who play Ian and Barbara. And the woman who plays the woman who plays Ian and plays Barbara is not Barbara.
Jacqueline Hill is played by Gemma Powell in the show.
And she was great.
She was great.
But Jacqueline Hill will forever be in my heart.
Yes.
And the guy
You're right, buddy.
What do you mean? And the guy who played Ian didn't look like Ian at all.
But I also think that's okay because in this docudrama, like, they're not the main characters.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like if
even the granddaughter wasn't really one of the main characters.
No.
And she definitely didn't look like Susan at all.
No, she had the right hair, I think. But she didn't...
Really, so did Barbara.
Yeah, she didn't really sound a lot like Susan.
No.
Or like Carolyn Ford.
I felt like the people who played the actor and actress for Barbara and Ian tried more to sound like them.
Mm.
But not the woman that played the actress who played Susan.
Yeah, I love that thing with Sidney Newman, and he's just like... I need something. This is my idea.
Two good-looking people. You need an old fella who's did he say abrasive or did he say fun?
No, he said fun. Fun.
And then a young one for the kids to relate to. And
he said, but the old one needs to be a doctor, like someone with authority.
So that's where doctor
comes from. That's where doctor comes from. Yeah. Which I guess makes sense because...
That's true.
Every time he rocks up at a location, he's like, I'm the doctor. Everyone's like, oh.
Mm.
You know, so it is a bit. Maybe he was just like, "I'm a guy. I'm just the guy." They'd just be like,
"I'm the guy."
So from there, he gets Verity Lambert,
yes,
to come in, and he's just like, and she's worked with him before. She worked with him previously,
mm-hmm.
And so she's like, "I don't want to be an assistant anymore." He's like, "No. I want you to be in charge of this thing. I want you to be the producer." So she's a producer, and it's
first female producer at the BBC.
Yeah. So, obviously, that brings a lot of, like, people say a lot of things. And that's, you know, pretty obvious at the start. And then I think once she makes a name for herself, like, I mean, she shouldn't have had to, but now then people start, treating her with a lot more respect.
Yeah.
And same for the...
Director.
Waris Hussein,
mm-hmm.
Who's played by Sacha Darwin, who will go on to be... an actor in main Doctor Who as well.
After this. Right.
So, his character is like, what am I working with here? You know, like, he's that kind of like, I'm supposed to be professional and I'm dealing with this cramped little studio and all that kind of stuff. Well, he's also like the first, he's Indian. So, in the 60s, he's also treated quite poorly by other people in the community.
Yeah.
You know, like, I like that scene at the start where they first, like, really meet and then they get a drink together and the barman's just, like, ignoring him completely. And she's like, I can help you with this. Like, and they kind of team up from that perspective. Like, no one gives us the respect. We'll have to, like, prove them all that they suck. But anyway, they sit down to have dinner with William Hartnell. Now, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Did this... Because obviously you've seen the first Doctor.
I've seen the first Doctor. I've also seen the Doctor from the movie.
Yeah. Have you? Oh, the Doctor Who movie. Not the Doctor Who movie. Not the real movie.
No, the one that's fictionalized inside the world of Doctor Who.
But did this give you any kind of, like, what did you think William Hartnell was going to be like? And did this, like, match that?
To be honest, I thought he came across harsher than I thought it would be. I knew he was that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they played that up, because it felt really harsh for no reason. Whereas I thought maybe... him being blunt came from not getting along with people while they were filming.
Yeah, I think the thing for him was, and you can see it in that dinner scene, he didn't want to do, like, the same thing again. He wanted to do something different.
Yes.
And so they did manage to convince him. But I remember you shared a quote once on our Facebook page that was like, as soon as I saw the script, I was in love and whatever. And he just was like, I couldn't wait to do it. And then look what it became.
Mm.
But just to see that dinner scene of him being like, I'm not sure about this.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Which makes me think either the quote is completely false or he said that later to make it sound nicer.
I'm sure he said it later. Like, I'm sure he...
Actually said those words.
I'm sure he said those words, but...
It's not a reflection.
No. And I think what happened is that they become quite a core team, the three of them.
Yeah.
And so... He comes around and he's like, this thing's actually awesome. So they film the pilot. And you can just tell, like, they're in the worst studio.
Yeah.
And...
it gets too hot, so it sets off the sprinklers.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is, I didn't realize that they'd shot a pilot and then reshot it because it wasn't right. Because when they were showing them shooting it originally, I was like... This doesn't sound like it at all.
No.
I'm getting no memory of the show I've actually watched.
And I like that...
So it made sense.
They went back to Sydney. Sydney watched it.
Yeah.
And he was like, take out the reference of where they're from.
Yes.
He's like, keep it mysterious.
Don't make it like the 49th or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's too specific, that he said. And so he was like...
And make the guy more...
Like likeable.
Likeable, not as harsh.
Which is what William Hartnell says as well. He's like, he seems too abrasive.
Yeah.
And so they go back. He says, go back and film it again. He's like, this is going to be expensive, but go for it. And then they get it right the second time.
Mm-hmm.
I also love the fact that as they go, the director, Warris, is just like... We only get like 4 edits an episode. You know, all the references to like how things like would have been so difficult back then.
Yeah.
And so I just love how it's like, oh, he screwed up. Just keep going.
Which is why a number of times we've said to each other, you can see that actress looking away because they're trying not to laugh. And it's because they know we can't edit this. We just have to keep going.
Yeah. And even hearing like, because we watched the little behind the scenes thing after.
Yep.
Of how they used to do things. And then one of them says, maybe it was William Russell, I can't remember, who talks about how they used to do things in the old days, where you're shooting something, a 25-minute episode, and you'll shoot it in, like, you'll do one rehearsal, and then you'll do it for real.
Yeah.
In an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think that would happen at all these days.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, and even just watching how stressful it is for that director, he's like, change that camera, no, change the camera, that camera. You know what I mean? Like, because they have
and
to
the do... You come in and try to move things out of the way so they can get into a shot. And
yeah, it explains a lot. Falling
around. Oh, yes. It does. And there was a cameo from the bees.
Yes.
And the wasp people.
And they were in white and black. And I was like, oh.
That's probably what it was.
It's probably better for the camera to capture that, the stripes. Yeah. But it was also nice to see the set in colour.
Yeah.
And see the Daleks in colour.
Yes.
And with see the his blue, costume and colour.
The blue bubbles along the Daleks.
Yeah, the gray, it was like grey and blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not what I imagined watching it in the black and white.
No. And that does those colours change over the years.
Right.
But it was really cool, like, because we watch this. You know, there's sometimes when we watch an episode, and it's like, whatever, the Romans, where we're like, ugh. But you can see, like, the amount of stress... that the cast were on, and we're just like, oh, no good.
That's right. It puts it into perspective of they can't just do 20 takes. That's the take.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means all the stuff that's really good, and I have to tell you, I don't think we've seen a lot of that since Ian and Barbara left. I think the stuff before that was the best stuff so far.
Yeah.
It was really good, because it wasn't like they had 20 takes to do it.
No, well, it's probably our... what's our, like, best one?
I think the Aztecs is the best storyline.
Oh, yeah. And that was still early. Like, that was still early. Like season one.
Season one.
So imagine having to do that in these circumstances.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Puts in perspective how good it actually is.
Yeah. And I think...
I know you like the Dalek stuff, so maybe you prefer that. I don't know. But to me...
No, I like the episodes. I think the Daleks, and Paul McGann actually, in one of the behind the scenes things for the Radio Plays, he has a good quote about this. The Daleks are best used sparingly. Like, right. You see them once, and then you might not see them again for like a season and a half or something.
Yep.
Because if you use them all the time, they lose their impact.
Yes.
So you need really solid episodes in between so that it builds up to like, when the Daleks come back, you know what I mean? To keep people in.
Yeah.
But the Aztecs definitely, yeah, that's a high point, I reckon.
And you know why? I mean, there were so many good points with the Aztecs. Ian, the warrior.
Ian fights the Jaguar warrior.
The doctor and the hot old woman.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that was the Aztecs.
That was the Aztecs, yes.
What's her name? Was the queen?
But yes, Barbara was a goddess. Yeah. They thought she was a goddess.
That's right. They thought she was a goddess. And she had that really cool idea of like just saying things, and then the witch doctor guy had to be like, you can't, he knows that she's fake, and she's like, what are you going to do about it? I'll just tell them that you're fake, and there's that whole cool thing.
Yes.
And Susan's there somewhere, whatever.
And there's quite a good story in there about like, Susan's in there. Susan's just there. Good story about like times that they can't impact on.
Yes.
So,
there was so, that's probably the best storyline I feel like we've watched so far.
Yeah, I like that. And I like Vicky's first one when they're on that planet.
Yep.
And Barbara gets to shoot the gun that like burns her face. But that's quite good too. Like that, just the stress of having to make an episode, because just watching them be stressed about making the first four-parter.
Yes.
And then they get, like, it takes off, right? Like, so they, like, make more of these. Having to make more of them? You know what I mean?
Like, and they've still probably got four edits, a thingy, or whatever it is.
Yeah, and no wonder, like, towards the end of watching this, like, William Hartnell is ready to go.
Yeah.
Because it would have been relentless, I reckon, shooting all of these.
Yeah.
And he's right, like, in this, he talks a lot about all the lines he has to remember.
Yeah.
Like, it's intense.
And his poor wife at home is just, like, feeling for him.
Yeah.
And every time he comes home, he's exhausted. And she's like, give it up. And he's like, no, you know.
But later on, and we'll probably just bounce around all over the place, I reckon.
Yeah.
But later on, her name's Heather. She goes to talk to Verity Lambert. And Verity's just like, does he need to stop? And she's like, he loves it so much. Like, she can see the change that the role has had on him.
Mm-hmm.
There's the cool bit where he's just in a park and kids recognize him. And then he just runs around the park with them pretending to be the doctor. Like, that's cool. He's gone from playing, like, army generals.
And hating it.
And hating it and being like, to being, like, a superhero to kids.
Yeah.
It's crazy good. They kind of pause in moments where people leave him, though. So Waris Hassan leaves. He gets a different job. Moves up the ladder, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the...
I mean, Susan leaves is the next one.
Yeah, then Susan. Yeah, Susan's after. Yeah. And she makes a really... Carolyn... She's playing Carolyn Ford. That's Claudia Grant. She has a really good line where she says, I'm like a bit tired of just screaming at monsters.
Yes.
And it's like, oh yeah, because that's real. That's really why she left. She was like, there's not enough character development. I'm just a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Which is correct.
And it's a shame that they couldn't see past that and do more for her character, because she's actually, I assume, technically related to the doctor.
Mm.
They could have done so much more with her character.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, and this isn't a spoiler, like they've never come back to that. How funny is that? Like, they've never...
Even though the woman, is she still alive?
Well, I guess this... Yes, Carolyn Ford is still alive.
So they could...
They could... Well, Carolyn Ford's come back and play an older Susan in the audio plays.
Right.
So the audio plays have come back to it, but she's never been in the show again, which I think is that's the most interesting thing.
But they still could...
They could.
Anyway.
And
then Ian and Barbara leave.
Ian and Barbara leave. But that's not really...
Oh, no, does Verity leave first?
No, Verity's there till... No, they must have left after she left.
Right.
Because he gets his lines wrong in the episode that they're That's still true. There for.
And she's gone by then, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like... And he has that... They have that moment where she's trying to tell him that she's leaving, and he's like, you're my rock, Verity. And she's like... And on the inside, I'm just like, it's so, so sad.
Yeah.
And his condition gets worse, and he forgets more of his lines. And he's obviously becoming frustrated with having to work with new people, because everything's changing, and... You know, he liked the team he had before, so...
Well, he says that. When he talks with Verity at her leaving party, they go and stand near the TARDIS. And she says, oh, you know, this is just how life is. And he says, why do things have to change? Why can't they just stay the same?
Yeah.
He just hates the fact that it's changing.
And I wonder, you know, I know he wasn't old. I think his condition aged him more.
Well, they said he died at 67.
At 67.
So that's fair. That's very young.
So he got it. He started on it when he was 55. And he already looked quite old.
Yeah.
I think that was just his condition.
It was his condition, but they also make a point of the fact that he's never stopped smoking or drinking.
Yeah.
Which probably didn't help.
Do you want to know how old David Bradley was when he played him? Because he's much older than him.
Yeah.
And I think they had to get an actor of that age.
Just to look like him.
Just to look like him.
I'm going to say late 70s.
So this was in 2013. 71. And the cool thing is, because now David Bradley's played him, David Bradley's also voiced the first Doctor in the audio plays. He's just kind of done that, which is kind of cool.
And he really does, especially the shots from the back where he has the longer white hair. It really looks like William Hartnell.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it's so sad. It's quite a somber docudrama.
It is.
It starts really upbeat. So like this brand new thing, and then it just ends very sadly. But I like how they leave it kind of ambiguous of who came up with the regeneration thing.
Yes.
Because we don't know.
That's what's funny about it, isn't it?
But it must have been, like, remember when we talked about it, I said it was between Mervyn and Sydney. One of them must have done it. So they just made it that they had a conversation together behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And he never figured it out.
Well, mate, yeah. Who else could it have been? Because Verity's left.
Yeah.
The director's left. The guy who played the Doctor probably, I don't know how much input he would have had at that point, because he's obviously not well.
No, and he wanted to hold on to it too.
Hmm.
So he probably wasn't even thinking about someone else taking over.
Yeah, that's true. So it must have been between those two guys.
Yeah.
Who were basically the first people we see on the show.
And so it kind of ends with... Well, first, the first bit that ends with is William Hartnell being quite upset and crying, and his wife comforting him. And then he just has that scene, that last scene on the TARDIS, and he just kind of like flicks through the controls and he looks over and he sees Matt Smith. And I was like, that made me feel like, oh, I was like, you know, sad as well.
Right.
Because you can see how much longer the show is going to go for. Well, it's good in a way. And obviously it's not a real moment that he had.
Yeah.
But it's a moment where he's like, this thing's going
to
go on.
There's a legacy to this.
Yeah.
Can I give you a very different perspective? As someone who has not seen Matt Smith as the Doctor.
Yeah.
Who knows him as an insane blonde madman. In Game of Thrones.
Yes, yes.
That was the most awkward moment in the whole show. Because for me, Matt Smith doesn't mean anything to me as the Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And I know he's the Doctor, but it's just like the whole thing was so real, and then there's just some dude from 50 years in the future there.
Well, he's like 40 now, isn't he?
Yeah, he must be.
That back then, he was like 28.
I found it odd. I know what they were going for, and for Doctor Who mega fans who've watched him, it would have been really nice, but I found it odd.
I thought it was cool. And I know that at the time I thought it was cool because it's the 50th anniversary. It came out in the 50th anniversary.
It makes complete sense that it works.
Yeah.
But because I haven't seen him yet, is that...
There's so many extra things we're going to have to watch at the 50th. We won't rewatch this, obviously. But there's there's little specials and things on that we'll definitely watch.
Mm.
So anyway, I don't know if it's scorable, because I don't feel like we should score it. But I think it was just a nice thing to watch. yeah. as we go into the second season.
It feels weird to watch a docudrama about the first Doctor's life as the actor.
And then go, 3 out of 13.
Or rate it out of his predecessors.
Yeah, yeah.
His successors.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so let's
leave. So let's give it a 1 William Hartnell out of 1 William Hartnell.
Perfection.
Because if we ever give anything else a 1, it's going to look bad.
Very bad.
Alright, do you want to know what's going to happen next?
Go on.
Flute
Boy!
So that episode's called The Power of the Daleks. That's his first one.
Oh, so that thing you said about don't go too hard on the Daleks, the moment they have a next guy, they're like, bring the Daleks in.
Well, the funny thing is, and you'll see this, is normally when there's a new Doctor, the Daleks are introduced fairly early.
Yeah.
And I think it's a way to be like, this is how this Doctor deals with the Daleks. So,
I think they shouldn't do that. I think they should have one of the iterations. The final boss for that iteration of the Doctor is the Daleks. It builds up to this huge thing.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. But there's only, like, a small Dalek story.
Yeah. And then a large one.
Like, because remember, they're in for 3 seasons, right? So they meet the Daleks close to the start, and they meet them again way down the track.
It's and it probably helps with smoothing over with the fans. Yes, this is the new person. Get to like them. We know you like Daleks, so here's some Daleks to carry you on.
Well, the funny thing is, because I started with Chris Ferkelson, every time there's a new Doctor, I'm like, ugh. But then after an episode, I'm like, yeah.
Right.
Because they do something. They do a speech, or they do something cool, and yeah.
Well, this will be interesting because, I mean, the whole point of The Fan and the Fool is that we have these two different perspectives on this show.
Mm.
My perspective to the second Doctor, because he will actually be my second Doctor, is probably going to be very different to yours as a mega fan. So it'll be interesting to see why we do or don't like Flute Boy.
Mm.
Or Recorder, as you keep saying, as if that justifies anything.
So we've got a few things to do. So we've got The Power of the Daleks. So we can watch that one
together, I guess. Is that his very first?
It's his very first one.
Yep.
6 episodes long, but like a bunch of them, the story is completely missing.
Oh.
So it's just, they've got the audio, it's completely animated for 6 episodes. Okay.
What an introduction.
Then there's The Highlanders, which is missing completely.
Please tell me it's set in Scotland.
It's set in Scotland.
That's awesome.
It introduces the first Scottish companion.
Whoa.
Jamie McCrimmon.
Okay.
He's also one of the longest serving companions. So he's away for, he's in for a while.
But my introduction to him is going to be animation.
No, you don't get introduced to him because they haven't animated it. No complete episodes survive.
Of the longest serving companion?
Only the first. The clips from episode 1 are in on DVD, but not a full episode, just clips.
Wow.
So we won't see him. You'll see him. You just won't see him being introduced.
Right, okay.
Then there's the Underwater Menace and the Moon Base and the Macra Terror, which we don't have any of those. Oh, actually, the Macra Terror is on DVD, so I'll have to get that. But then we have the Faceless Ones.
Ooh.
And then we have The Evil of the Daleks, which I don't have. But then we have The Tomb of the Cybermen, which is on BritBox.
Oh.
And then The Abominable Snowman, which just came out in animation. So you can get that. Then there's The Ice Warriors, which we don't have.
You don't have to buy them all. We can find them reputable websites.
I think I want them.
Oh, good. Then buy them. Spend that cash.
Also, when I went to JB Hi-Fi today, they were buy 2, get 1 free. So I bought 2 and got 1 free.
Now you can do that again because there's plenty more missing.
Well, those other ones are newer, so they don't do that yet. You know, they only put the stick on the older ones.
They're gonna be
but expensive. By that point, they'll probably be at that point.
Bargain!
Now, the good news is, that's the next 2 seasons, we're missing a lot.
Mm.
But season 6 onwards is pretty much all there.
Forever then?
Forever then.
Good.
So then we don't have to do this.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying. I like that they're trying to animate it to tide people over until maybe they're eventually ever found. Yeah, I'm
You'll warm to it. I like this one better, where they've actually gotten a proper picture of him. You'll love it.
I'm gonna enjoy the show, but I'm telling you now.
I have a feeling.
I'm not finished.
I'm interrupting you though.
I am telling you that by the end of this guy's tenure as the Doctor, my bet is he will not be above William Hartnell.
He won't be. But I think the thing that will happen is when the third guy starts, the format from the third guy onwards is pretty much unchanged.
Okay.
So there's shorter story arcs. They're not, none of these like 6 to 12 episode arcs. They're just shorter and better. And
okay.
It's in colour and the camera works better. The special effects are pretty bad, but you know.
So what you're saying is it's kind of unfair on the second dude.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's always hard to come after the original, isn't it?
But also so much of his stuff is missing.
Yeah, he's missing like 2 entire seasons pretty much.
Wow.
In fact,
I can't wait for the episode that's just a review of all the stuff that happened. Because how much stuff are we going to miss?
So season 4, which is his first season, is not there. Like, there's bits and pieces, but there's no complete stories, which is what these ones come from. And then season 5, about 3/4 of it's missing. But then season 6 is pretty much all there.
What a shame.
What a shame. Didn't you want to see the space pirates? Didn't you want to see the moon base? Didn't you want to see the wheel in space?
Like a wheel of fortune.
Yeah. I think we're done.
Yeah, I really enjoyed what we watched, and I will miss William Hartnell. I thought it was excellent. He's my favourite Doctor.
Yeah, he's alright.
Out of the 2 that I've seen, the other one is in those atrocious films.
Do you know who my favourite Doctor is?
Go on. Actually, I've seen 3 Doctors. No, I haven't. It was the same guy in both movies. What did you say? Your favourite what?
Who's my favourite Doctor?
The guy who's only in the movie. Yes. You've said that so many times. And the reason it annoys you is because he was only in the movie.
Because he's great in the movie, but the movie's terrible. Anyway.
But also, he's the first Doctor you ever watched.
Actually, the movie's fine. It's just not great.
Is he the first Doctor you ever watched?
No.
Who was the first one you ever watched?
Christopher Eccleston. Remember? He grabbed Rose's hand and said, run. And then I was running with him ever since. You remember that?
And on that note, we'll see you next time.
If you like the episode, why not review it?
Yes.
Why not tell all your friends about it?
Yes.
We'll be a bit more consistent now.
It's all good. You gotta have holidays. But from now on, no more holidays ever, or we all die. Bye.
In the episode description, I know you keep trying to say bye, but you need to remember these things. In the episode description, there's a link tree to all our social medias.
Yes, and in the description on whatever platform you watch, listen to these episodes, we describe where our segments are. So if you don't want to hear all our banter crap at the beginning, you can skip like 20 minutes ahead and it'll say this is where the episode discussion starts.
It'll say like news and it'll say like Matthew's brief spoiler free review, blah, blah, blah.
And if you're not interested in any of those,
listen to a different podcast. Throw this one at your friends. Smack their bottom. See ya.
Bye. And goodbye, William Hartnell.
I know what's happening and I know what's at stake. I don't think you do, Doctor. But I promise before this Christmas day is done, you will be glad of my help.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Your Father Christmas, you're real.
I'm real. I didn't know those presents got under the tree every year.
Be sure to save some room for a tangerine, Doctor.
You're a fairy tale. You're a fairy tale. You're a fairy tale. You're a fairy tale.
Before this Christmas day is done, you will be glad of my help.
Be sure to save some room for a tangerine, Doctor.
Nobody likes tangerines.